This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. Well, thank you guys for coming on the Love Story Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. I will let you introduce yourselves.
Okay. My name is Erica Boyk.
And I am Jeff Boyk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we'll go right to the beginning. How did you guys meet?
So I met Jeff through a good friend of mine. I've known my friend Laura since elementary school.
Okay.
And she went to college with Jeff. And they were settling into their new house and doing landscaping. And that's what Jeff was doing. And I got there and met him for the first time. And he was literally covered from head to toe in dirt.
Okay.
So that's how I met this dirty man. The next day we went to the beach and he was there.
Not covered in dirt anymore.
Not covered.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of what jump-started it. I lived in the cities and he lived up here. And she gave him my phone number without telling me. She gave him my phone number.
Okay.
And that's just kind of how it started. Long-distance relationship for a little bit. And then I moved up here. A year later, you know, the crazy things you do for love, I guess. Uh-huh. We got engaged. We've been together 3 years when we finally got, I asked him to marry me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Non-traditional. I love that.
And now we've been together 29 years.
So this would have been 29 years ago that you met the dirty landscaper?
The dirty man, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what was it about him when you saw him that you were like, ooh, or were you like, nah, he's fine?
So it's funny you say that because Jeff and I didn't get married till we were in our 30s. So we were much older in life, if you will. When you envision who you're going to marry, he was not that vision, not in a bad way,
right. But
you just don't know what that person's going to look like. And I was never one that believed in love at first sight. And we went on our very first date and I remember walking through the sculpture gardens down in Minneapolis and all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, he's the one. I don't know what it was exactly what it was, but he was just kind and thoughtful and not like anybody else. He was very honest and genuine and that's what made me fall in love with him. Now, for him, I don't know.
My name wasn't Mike.
I had a history of dating guys named Mike.
Failed.
So he fell out of that.
Yes, good.
Box. Yeah,
so I had one foot up.
Yes. So are you guys the same age?
He's 6 months older than me.
Okay. Yep. So you were just like, I'm just showing up to do work, and all of a sudden this bodacious babe comes walking in.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it worked. No, I think we're both kind of at a point in our starting our careers and we're working, and Erica's situation maybe was a little bit different than mine because she had roommates. I didn't. I had my house and kind of, it's like, why are you commuting? At that time, she was traveling a lot too. So it was like ours, she just kind of like moved in.
I remember telling my dad, we talked about it, and Jeff's like, well, you better talk to your parents. I was 27 years old.
Uh-huh.
I remember telling my mom and dad, I'm going to move in with Jeff. And my dad's like, well, thanks for telling me, but you're 27 years old. I can't tell you what to do anymore.
He's like, okay.
He's just very traditional. You know? It was cute.
I have a younger brother, Tyler, and Erica's probably better at sharing the story about what Tyler had to say when I think
The first time you met him. Yeah. Jeff was roofing his house, and I had just got back from traveling from a trip, and he's like, hi, I'm Tyler. He's like, and are you going to be marrying my brother? Because if you don't marry my brother, he's going to be all by himself. And I have my mom and dad, and he is nobody. So if you don't marry him, he's going to be by himself. So pressure was on right
from the get-go. Well, yeah, exactly. I can't do that to this poor man. You're right, Tyler.
I'm lucky I didn't storm right after that conversation. Yeah. So it was pretty
freaky. Yeah. So you meet, you go to the beach, you sneaky. Did you ask for her number, or was it like, you guys, there's a chemistry here. You need to call her.
Do you remember that far ago?
It's been a while, but I think actually Lara offered it to me and I said, yeah, I'll take it. And then I guess it was just, hey, let's call and see what she was up to. And, you know, just kind of trying to find, you kind of get to that age too, where you're trying to find some friends and, sure, you know, you want to go out and date someone. And I guess we just kind of clicked right from the get-go, and the rest is pretty much history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you dated for 3 years. Was it just like you guys weren't in a rush to get married, or was it?
No, I think the nice thing about our relationship is we work well together as a couple, but we can both be very independent. He doesn't tell me what to do. I don't tell him what to do. He doesn't have to ask to go on a fishing trip. So we're very independent in that aspect.
Yeah.
And kind of what triggered it was it wasn't very romantic at all, but we were literally laying in bed. It was Valentine's night, mm-hmm, and we were watching the news, and Amelia Santanello was talking about how she was in her 30s and having her first kid. And I was like, I remember saying to Jeff, I don't want to be in my 30s and having my first kid. And then I just said, will you marry me? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, really? You will? So it was just, I think, you know, we had been together for so long. We had been living together for a couple years, yeah, already. It was just the next thing and next step, mm-hmm, in our relationship. And he said, yes. Like I said, I asked him to marry me. And I remember I went out of town for work and came back. I'm like, I asked him to marry me. So I bought him a green sucker pop ring.
Uh-huh.
And I came home, I'm like, I got you something. And he's like, what? And I go, well, I asked you to marry me, so here's your ring.
Yeah, here's your engagement ring.
And he's like, oh, that's beautiful. So he goes, well, I suppose. We went into our bedroom, went into the bathroom, and he came back out, and I had these two little animal cases from his little brother. One was a turtle and one was a frog. And he goes, pick one. I'm like, okay. I opened it up, and inside was a bread twist tie,
uh-huh,
into the shape of a ring.
Oh.
I was like, oh, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, she goes, I want the other one.
I said, can I open the other one? He's like, sure. And I opened it up, and my ring was in there.
Oh.
So he already had my ring. I just beat,
wow,
him to the punch.
Oh. Okay. So when were you going to propose?
I don't really, I guess I didn't have anything particular date or anything. I guess I kind of knew we were headed that way, and
sure,
so was maybe waiting for the right opportunity, and she just kind of beat me to it.
Watching the news. So when did you go buy your ring?
I had that for, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks or so prior,
okay,
to that.
Sneaky.
There was another nursery in town, and a gal that worked there, her husband actually was in our wedding, and he was a good friend of ours. So, and at the time, she had been working, I think, at Hellsberg's.
Mm-hmm.
So I had just said, hey, keep an eye open. Something unique comes along. So
yeah,
she'd be calling me every week, get in here, I'll sell you something.
Did you have any idea that?
Uh-uh. And we never, and after when I asked him to marry me, I'm like, let's go look at rings. And he's like, we don't need to go look at rings. He's like, don't you trust me? I'm like, well, it's not a matter of trusting you. It's just every girl wants to go look at,
yeah,
rings with her. Look, well, he already had it. So
yeah,
check that off the list. So
she would have pulled the real ring first and not the bread tie? Was it just like, it's up to fate? Whatever happens, happens?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she would have got the real one either way.
Yeah.
It was kind of our little, or more of our little joke, but those little animal boxes were kind of, mm-hmm, they came from Tyler, so
they were cute.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you go off and get married, and how long until you started having kids?
Oh, my honeymoon, and came back a family of three.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. So yep, we just jumped right into, we had our single life, and
mm-hmm,
had our oldest, Drew, was born May, and yeah, so we jumped right into familyhood right out of the gate.
When did you get married?
In August.
So then, okay, just, mm-hmm, like that, boom.
Something in that St. Lucian water, I guess.
Okay, so how many kids do you have?
We have three. Drew is 23. He's our oldest.
Mm-hmm.
We have Charlie, who is our heavenly, is, well, now 18, I guess, 18 and a half. And then Lewis is our youngest, and he's 16.
Okay.
So they're all about 3 years apart.
Okay.
All boys.
Did you plan to have your kids 3 years apart like that, or was it?
Mm-mm. Charlie would always say I was the only planned one, because,
uh-huh,
Drew was a surprise and Louis was definitely a surprise,
uh-huh,
and he was the only one that we planned for. So it just happened to be that way.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So we've been blessed with three boys and a house full of testosterone for me.
Oh, yeah.
My kids would always joke, well, we have, you know, there's more than one girl in the house because we have a female dog. I'm like, yeah, but she can't pick up after herself.
Yeah.
And she yeah. can't wash the dishes.
Yeah, so. I can't commiserate with her about how awful you boys are.
Yeah.
She tries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes for fun stories with having all boys in the house, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you said, okay, so that was how many years ago that you guys have been together?
We've been together a total of 28 years.
28 years. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So married like 25-ish, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then what's life like? You were living and then you moved up here. Mm-hmm. So you were just living up here and then got engaged here and then lived here. And then this is just kind of where you settled doing life here?
Yep.
Okay.
That's where we're at. That's where we're calling home. I know I'm a true St. Cloudian,
yeah.
if you will, because I refer to the Twin Cities as the cities now and not just driving down the road. I mean,
yeah.
Jeff grew up down in the cities too, so that's where we both grew up. But
yeah.
this is where we call home.
Okay.
Where we've established our roots.
Yeah. Three boys, I imagine, sports abound. Were you guys, so you would have been sports parents. Were you into sports too when you were growing up?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
I played soccer, hockey, football.
God.
Yeah, if we weren't at a rink or a field, it'd be pretty surprising.
Yeah, what do you do with yourself?
Yeah, you know? And I was softball, played basketball for a little bit, but then I golfed for a long time, and then mm-hmm. I would dance and cheer and hung up the athletic sports stuff and did the pom-pom stuff.
Yep.
And, mm-hmm, yep, so that's our livelihood. The boys are... I was that mom with our first child. You know, Jeff played hockey, and I didn't really... That wasn't a sport that was I was big on, but I mm-hmm. knew how great of a sport it was. But I was mm-hmm. that mom when my son was in preschool. I would be the mom that goes at nap time to pick up her child, have his lunch with me in the car, mm-hmm. and bring him to learn how to skate, you know.
Yeah.
So he'd go back to daycare very crabby, but
yeah.
that's what started it all for us.
So is that kind of, over the years, is that kind of what has... What would you say has held you guys together over the years? Is it like being like the sports family and integrating into doing all of that stuff kind of as your hobby? And
yeah, I would say the hockey community is definitely, as big of a sport as it is, it's very family driven, family mm-hmm. closeness, lots of good community in that family, relationships that you build because you're with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see your kids go from just learning how to skate all through high school. And a lot of times you're on the same teams with those families. So that's, you know, 14 years in the makings of being with those same people. You learn
yeah.
a lot about them.
Yeah.
For sure.
My kids were never, they didn't really care so much about sports. My daughter, I gave her every opportunity. Anything that she dreamed up, she wanted to be in dance. So we did dance for a couple weeks. And then she gave that up because she didn't like it. And then she wanted to be in fencing because she loved The Princess Bride.
Wow.
So we did fencing for a couple of times. And it's not the way it looks in Princess Bride. So she gave that up too. So I was like, whatever. I don't know what to give you anymore. So now she's a drama kid. And that's where she has settled into that. So
yeah. And we tried all the sports. Our oldest tried baseball. It was too boring for him.
Too many yeah. mosquitoes.
He played yeah. football for a while. Charlie was just really a hockey player. He had no interest in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Louis is our sports kid. He plays football, he plays hockey, and lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that keeps our head on a swivel because we're moving all over the place.
Yeah.
With him. But yeah, and Jeff's always, you know, his philosophy has been, if I have to be there, I'm going to coach. He doesn't want to sit next to me because I kick and I...
She's the loud mom.
I was going to say, are you rooting and screaming? And yeah.
Yes. In a nice way.
Yes,
yeah.
of course.
Yeah.
So have you coached your kids?
Yeah, I've coached probably for the last, at least since Drew started. So when he was for at least 18, 19 years, in one way or fashion, I've been part of the St. Cloud youth hockey, or I tried soccer because soccer was really more my sport in high
okay.
school and had some success with that. But I don't know, I kind of gravitated more towards hockey, and that obviously the industry that I'm in, my winters are a little more free.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates opportunities for me to do that. And then just the friendships and things that we've kind of experienced over the years have given opportunities for my boys. Maybe that other kids wouldn't have, not skill related,
mm-hmm.
more just people you kind of know, and had the opportunity to do some coaching for the Midwest Selects, which then my mm-hmm. kids got to be part of. And that relationship actually started more from Erica, because she, being in the hotel industry at that time, would coordinate the hotels
sure.
for these teams coming in. And all of a sudden that gave us the opportunity mm-hmm. to meet Glenn, and Glenn's like, wow, you got any kids that play hockey? I go, yeah. He goes, bring them on down. We're going to put them on a team. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're coaching the northern team. And I'm not, my boys are in the western division. So all of a sudden, now you're meeting people from up north and coaching with guys that you don't do in a normal league. And it just, from there, the relationships have just, like, really grown.
Sure.
And then we've, you know, with Erica's involvement with the Norsemen in town. And so our hockey family is really big. I mean, it's small and tight, but we're spread out all the way, I can say, from New York to Philadelphia to Lafayette to Chicago. Cade came from Fargo. So it's been a nice long run, so to speak. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to meet more families. It's been enjoyable from that standpoint.
What happens when then your youngest, like, because you've got the oldest is in college now.
He's a welder. He's engaged. He's like doing his thing. Yeah.
We'll have to have him on and tell his love story too. When are they getting married?
June 25th to 27th. In fact, we had a hockey tournament this weekend, but in between that, we also were up and we just got back from Alex looking at a wedding venue.
Okay.
So it's a lot of, we're in different chapters now with those kids. Yeah. But when Louie's done, it will be, I think, for Jeff and I, all these relationships that we've, because as you mentioned, we've been involved with the Norsemen for many years. So I have like 14 other sons, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to see their journeys when they're done here and where they go on from here. So it's been very enjoyable for us. We've been out on the East Coast to watch one of our players play. We've been in Wisconsin to watch some of our players play. So that's kind of, it'll give us the freedom to watch them follow their dreams.
Sure.
Because our kids are practical and they know that their careers are coming to a halt here soon and they won't really go beyond that. But yet at the same time, we can now maybe get, the two of us can do hobbies together because we've been so immersed in our kids for all these years that now we can do things more as a couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and to have had 3 years doing that before you guys got, you know, married and started having kids right away, it was kind of like you kind of get to go back to the who you were before you became mom and dad. Okay. So you're kind of on the precipice of a little transition. Are you, is it nerve-wracking or are you just like, no, it's time?
I don't think it's nerve-wracking. I think it'll be nice to have some time for us just to hang out with each other because we've been so immersed in all that. But we're doing things in the community that are also keeping us busy. So I think even though this chapter with our kids will end in their sports, us getting involved in our community is kind of our next chapter of what we'll be doing together. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to be able to do things with Jeff outside of sporting things that are for, that give us the opportunity to show our appreciation and get involved in our community.
Yeah. Well, and you had mentioned it a little bit ago too, that you have your heavenly son. I'm going to try not to cry, but the number one, the thing that ends relationships is when you have a death of a child. And for you guys to have been able to stay together is a testament to the love that you built. So can you kind of talk about that, expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Do you...
No.
I know. We didn't get Kleenex.
It's still kind of raw and hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to give you a little bit of a side story. So Charlie was our 17-year-old son, and we lost him December 10th of 2022. He was coming home from his high school hockey game, and he got into a single car accident about a mile from our house. He died on impact. I wasn't home when this happened. I was up in Duluth with Lewis at a hockey tournament. Jeff was home. And me being out of town, when I get the call and all this chaos happens, my biggest thing was, as a mom, not being able to be here, but also just worrying about Charlie. You know, was he in pain? Did he struggle? Did he suffer? So to know the fact that he went peacefully right away, I guess, is a silver lining, if you will, if that makes sense. But Charlie was a very unique 17-year-old. He had the ability to really connect with adult person, adult, young or old, no matter how old you were. He was the kind of kid that would go up and look you in the eye and shake your hand and hold a conversation with you. He also was very kind and generous and really loved animals, loved getting involved in the community. So it was obviously devastating when we lost him. And every day it's a journey for us. And I remember when we were planning his funeral, our funeral director was like, okay, let's talk about logistics here. You know, he's like, okay, well, we can have it at our church. And he's like, it's not big enough. Like, what do you mean? He's like, it's not big enough. you know, this is somebody who we had no idea how much the loss of him would impact the community, mm-hmm. of those that maybe didn't know him, but just hearing his story. And in that same breath, he's like, also, you guys just need to understand, after we kind of closed the book and planned everything, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm going to give you the come to Jesus talk. 50% of all marriages that lose a kid don't survive. He mm-hmm. goes, so it's very important for the two of you to remember that if Jeff, you're having an okay day, Erica, you can't get mad at him for mm-hmm. that, and vice versa. Ironically, and I think, I don't know if Charlie has had a hand in this, but whenever I've had a bad or a tough day, Jeff seems to be having an okay day mm-hmm. and is there to help me through it, and vice versa. So we've been very able to kind of be our own supporters, if you will, mm-hmm. and go through this journey the best way we can. You know, we could easily go into a corner and not come out.
Yeah.
But knowing Charlie's characteristics of who he is, I think we've both and our families just really decided that we're going to emulate Charlie's characteristics mm-hmm. and want him to smile down on us and be proud for what we're doing because of him and in honor of him and through his characteristics of who he is. Mm-hmm. So that's just the path that we're choosing now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know, and Jeff will agree, every day we're one day closer to our reunion and we look forward to that. But Charlie is also very good about letting us know he's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a loss like this too. It can really either push you away from your faith or it really yep. makes you lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie has really made us lean into it because that's what we have that keeps us connected with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the signs that he has sent us have been like, I'm like, dude, you're like blazing the trail for all the future angels that come up there because you've raised that bar for the signs that you've sent down to us.
At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast that you can get bonus content on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast, After Dark. Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com, Facebook, or Instagram at greenthumbetc.
So it sucks, and I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. Uh-huh. Even with this, I still feel that way. You know, we're just been called to go on a different journey because of Charlie and now for Charlie.
Yeah. Well, if everybody had just the storybook fairy tale life of just, you know, then nothing matters, you know? And to have experienced the loss that you guys did, you're not the first ones and you're not going to be the last ones, mm-hmm. but you can, what can you do is you can be a beacon for this is how you do it. And this mm-hmm. is how you don't fall into the 50% that stays together. Mm-hmm. And what is it that's keeping you together? I think that's what a beautiful thing to say is that you want to live a life that your son would be proud of. And yeah, it could rip you apart, but instead it's like he wouldn't have wanted for mom and dad to, you know.
Mm-mm. Charlie keeps us together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps us busy. I can tell you that.
I'm probably at fault for some of that busyness.
Yeah, I think this tragedy gave us also an opportunity to see people, see how like Charlie affected people I'll tell you, he probably wasn't the best hockey player. And Charlie was being the middle kid. He was always brought along. The opportunities through this whole hockey journey we have weren't always there for Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always there. So if it wasn't him there watching Drew's game, he was there, you know, watching Drew's buddies, little brothers and sisters, or running a parent giving him, hey, take this kid up to the concession stand. Mm-hmm. I want to watch the game. So he was always there. And then I think that he had conversations with adults that maybe kids wouldn't normally have. Mm-hmm. And so that was probably the biggest surprise for me was his people sharing stories about him that I never mm-hmm. existed. And you yeah. know, whether it's like, oh yeah, we miss Charlie because he always would... We would give him kids rides home, and he'd be the one talking to the parents and telling them how to grow their tomatoes or, or
you,
you know.
Wanted the advice
from yeah. yeah, yeah, I mean, oh, he's full of it. Yeah. He was engaging, you know, so much more, even when it came to be during COVID. And I told him, I said, hey, you know, you're probably not going to play a whole lot on the high school team. I said, why don't you let me coach the junior goal team and take these 5-6 other guys, convince them to keep playing, because they probably weren't at skill level to go out and play for the high school team. Mm-hmm. I go, we can still play because I just want to watch you play, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to play on the high school team. I don't care if I got to fill water bottles, you know. And I tell people COVID was probably the best thing for him yeah. because kids were sick or their grades weren't good. Mm-hmm. So he got opportunity to play.
Yeah, so. I mean, he was smart. But I think part of it for Charlie, too, it wasn't just the sport. It was the community around the sport
mm-hmm.
and the stories in the locker room, jokes on the bus trips, and those were the things that Charlie really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where his skill set was, but he was also going to push it, you know. Mm-hmm. It would have been interesting to see what the rest of his high school time would have been like, because he was really just starting to become who he was, mm-hmm. you know, starting to get very independent and have these relationships and just enjoy.
I think he learned his role, like, hey, this, you know, reality is I'm not going to be the top player, and I might not play, but hey, I can still have a role within this community, mm-hmm. whether it's hockey or, you know, gardening with his grandpa mm-hmm. or his involvement with the Norsemen. And he was the kind of kid he'd be willing to, you know, help John Uran with the announcing, to mm-hmm. throwing the mascot on, to selling ticking.
It wasn't really a mascot. It was a wolf mask. It had nothing to do with the Norsemen.
Well, you wore the costume,
he did.
But
he did.
To just shoveling the ice, you know, mm-hmm. you get to a point where, can we find some younger kids to shovel the ice? I'm kind of a bigger guy, and I don't need, there's other kids that can do this. So he was just willing to kind of step in wherever
yeah.
he needed to be.
Yeah. So, and it, you know, we talked really about the hockey community, and when we lost Charlie, they were really the glue that
yeah.
has kept us together. And you never know the effect you have, what a community like that will have the effect on you until you don't know you need it. And they just wrapped up their arms around us. And even to this day, whatever mm-hmm. we can do to help, and we're like, we appreciate it. Now it's our turn to
mm-hmm.
show our appreciation to all they've done for us. And,
yeah.
you know, I wonder why he was taken from this earth so soon, but, you know, we all learn that our time here is, we don't know how long we'll
yep,
be here.
Borrowed. And, we're all borrowing it.
Yep. And Charlie's just making heaven a much greener, prettier place, and we'll know every single spot of heaven shows around when we get
yep,
there.
All the tomatoes.
Tomatoes, pumpkins. He's gonna, yeah. I had an uncle that recently passed away, and he was a really good dancer, so I joked. I'm like, I'm hoping that my uncle's teaching Charlie some really good dance moves, because that wasn't something Charlie could do well.
mm-hmm.
But
so for your family dynamic to then change, was your oldest son, was he living at home at the time, or was he?
No, so Drew went to school for 2 years, got a degree in welding, and he pretty much moved out. The night of the accident, Drew was actually, had just come back from Duluth, and so he was at home. Louis was up north with me, and, you know, I couldn't get home, so we're just trying to maneuver a hall where everybody's going to mm-hmm. get reunited. But I've learned through this process that there are three ways of grieving. There's mm-hmm. a hand griever, there's a heart griever, and a head griever.
Okay.
Drew and Louis are definitely head grievers. They think about their brother
mm-hmm.
and they process it in different ways, but they've also tried to emulate some of Charlie's characteristics in day-to-day life. Jeff is definitely a hands griever because he works through his hands through projects mm-hmm. and activities to help him deal with the grieving. I am more of the heart griever. I'm the one that expresses my feelings and talks about it. maybe sometimes too much.
The hand to the head and the hands, yeah. The heart would be, it would be a lot, I could imagine. But I would be the same way as you were. It's just like, I just want to talk about it.
I think we didn't ask to be in this club right. That nobody wants to be part of. But out of that, we've met people that we're grateful to now have in our lives mm-hmm. that we wouldn't have met before. Mm-hmm. And everybody deals with grief differently. And we've just been, I think, when it first happened, I think, you know, we just kind of kept moving on because it helped us to keep busy and keep just mm-hmm. doing things. But I also think for the connections that we made in the community, this might sound funny, but I think if they saw us out in the community, then it was okay for them to feel to be okay too, because they saw us out there. And not everybody's like that. You know, that was just how we chose to go through this process. And I think for me too, I've met a bunch of moms where I don't know them, but I've reached out to them when mm-hmm. I've heard they've lost a loved one, and just to let them know, hey, so many times people would say, I can't imagine what you've been through, and I would never want them to. Mm-hmm. But for now, all these families that we have met, we just tell them, I know what you're going through. We're just at a different path, down that different road, a little bit further down the road than you are. And, you know, I got a bracelet when I lost Charlie from one of my hockey mom friends, and it says Brave on it. And I make it a point to every mom that I meet to have Melissa make me a bracelet that says Brave, so I can give it to those moms to let them know that you might not feel it, but it takes mm-hmm. a brave person to get up every day without our kids here, and I just mm-hmm. want you to know that you are. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just, I think, like I said, we've met some pretty great people that we know we now have this something in common, but we're mm-hmm. all going to survive and push through it the best we can.
Yeah. So how has your family dynamic kind of, you know, how do the boys deal with it when it, you know, it's... especially for a kid, it's you to all have the same experience. You're all living the experience differently. So mm-hmm. what, from the parents' perspective, looking down on your other boys, what was kind of the, like, what was that like?
Yeah. Louis, that first night, like I said, we were out of town. And I remember, like, after I got over the shock of it all, I had to kind of push down my feelings because mm-hmm. I had my 14-year-old son mm-hmm. in the room with me. And he had just lost his brother. And he was the one that was like, I don't want to. I'm like, we got to go home. We can't stay mm-hmm. here. He wanted to stay. He wanted to stay. He wanted to play for his brother. He wanted to do all these things for his brother. And Louis to this day has been he's always been kind of been able to let things roll off his back mm-hmm. really easily. This, ironically, strangely enough, is no exception. He's mm-hmm. been very, yeah, it sucks. But he goes, look at all the good we've been able to do. Because Charlie isn't here, you know,
and absolute sweetheart.
And he's the one, you know, Louis, Charlie was number 17 for hockey. He was 17 years old when he passed away mm-hmm. and we had his celebration of life on the 17th. So 17 is a precious number for us. So Louis is now honoring his brother with number 17 for every mm-hmm. sport he plays. Drew, I would say it hits Drew a little differently. Charlie was just starting to really get into hunting, and Drew, he was starting to really pester us for a dog, mm-hmm. A silver lab. And Drew ended up getting a silver lab mm-hmm. and was making sure that that dog is the best hunting dog that it can be mm-hmm. in honor of Charlie. And Drew and Charlie were also a lot like oil and water. They did not mix majority
of the
time.
You've got the oldest in the middle. Yeah. My two sisters, I'm the oldest, and the middle sister walks in the room and we're all like, all right, what's about to happen? So the oldest and the youngest can get along, and the middle one is the wild card that you're just like, I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, but they were just really starting to kind of mix a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I think Drew, you know, he remembers when he'll go by a place where they planted a tree, and he's like, oh, I remember that spot. Mm-hmm. Every time he goes by the post where the accident was, he always honks at Charlie, mm-hmm. you know. So just with Drew getting married here soon, we're kind of with ways that we can kind of tie Charlie into mm-hmm. that special day. So, and Drew's, I don't know if you see him differently with how he's been.
Well, I think just as you mature as an individual, you kind of look at things maybe a little bit mm-hmm. differently. It's not, you know, those two against mom and dad, you know. So, a situation like this fix everyone a little bit differently. And mm-hmm. I guess
I love the way that you said that. Situations like this fix everyone a little differently. It hurts, it sucks, but what a beautiful thing to say. Thank you for saying that.
It's just, you know, you cope with it the best that you can. And I think for Eric and I as a team, we get to do things to honor Charlie, you know. And I think that's probably more inspiration for me to be able to say, hey, you know, do I keep coaching, you know, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, well, why do you keep coaching? Your kids are in high school now. Well, if you know, there was other dads there that helped when my kids were there, and I'm like, hey, I'll take the squirt lower level. I go, hey, less expectations, and no out of town stuff, you know, kind of. And for me, my friend and I that coach that group, it's, we get to see a lot of little Charlies for me. Mm-hmm. Within that first year, which most of them are all first years, you see the most growth, and you get to see the kind of characters that these kids are going to become. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see them when, you know, 3 years after I've coached them and they still know you. Yeah. And, hey, are you coming? You know, and to share a little bit Charlie's stories. Or we, one of the things that we do have is this, we have a Charlie Knight or a Spirit Ward. So we have set up this little award for a junior player on the Crush team. Mm-hmm. So, and then that award is picked by the coaches that maybe it's a kid that may not be the best player, but has Charlie characteristics. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Eric and I's goal is to bring some awareness to that award, and maybe it will inspire some kid to keep playing or to be a better teammate, or realize that, you know, winning isn't everything, but there's also these relationships that come from, you know, ours just happens to be hockey. Mm-hmm. Whether you're in theater or any other community-based thing, that you can get a lot of positivity out of it that helps you through a kind of a crappy situation.
I think for Jeff coaching these kids now, I think it's his own way to show his appreciation for the community that was there for us. He donates his time and his energy to help these kids, and it's just, I think, a way for him to really, in his way, show a way to give back personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's been fun when I don't have anything vested in it because I have no kids out there anymore. Yeah. To see when we go to the rink and I see these little kids come up and be like, Coach Boyd, can see their faces and just see how they light up when they see Jeff. I mean, one cute little story we had, one of his kids on his team this year is in the St. John's Boys Choir.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff and I went to their Christmas concert, and this kid comes up on the stage and he does one of these, like, points to Jeff and gives him like, hey, thanks for coming. His mom was like, I didn't even get that, you know, but the hockey coach shows up and he's like the cool kid in the group.
Yeah, you know? Mom has to be here, but my coach is here. What?
So it brings me lots of joy just to see how underrated of a person he is with his kindness and caringness that he gives to others without anything. Any expectations in return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Peace out, Coach Blake.
So cute. Trying to be cool. Yeah. Show off, my coach is here. No big deal.
Oh, and it's cool for me to get to see a kid that's super talented, not just hockey, that there's other stuff besides hockey for him that he's excelling or enjoying. Because it can be a grind. I mean, the hockey takes kind of a, sometimes we get a bad rap that, hey, you got to do it year round, and people say it's expensive, and I'm like, well, it's as expensive as you make it, you know? I mean, summer stuff is expensive because it's not the normal season, but you don't need brand new stuff, you know? So,
but you can't put a price tag
what we've gotten from it,
that you've earned,
it wouldn't matter what it cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really is like when you participate in any kind of community or any kind of, you know, group of thing or whatever, it's like, it really is, like you said, you don't know that you need it until you have to lean on it, or when something happens and they show you that, hey, we appreciate you too, you know? Mm-hmm. And then to do the beautiful thing that you guys are doing where it's like, yep, we're just participants in this organization, whatever. And then to be in a situation where it's like, oh, this actually gave us so much more than what we were expecting, to then it really does, when you are given so much back, it's the natural thing. It's just like, I'm going to give back to this because look at what it did for me, you know? What a beautiful thing that you guys are doing to continue to participate and to show up and to be supportive of something that gave you so much.
Yeah, I think it's something, you know, we want people to know who Charlie was. We started the skatefreecharlie.org, and it's just our way, our little website that we put together for people to get to know who Charlie was. So when we do these events, they can see, oh, this kid was, he was a rarity. But,
yeah,
you know, the events that we plan and the things that we do, it just offers us a little bit, I would say, healing to a degree. I think in every time, you know, I bring up an idea with Jeff, his eyes roll back in his head going, oh, no, here she goes again. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, it's just our way to maneuver our new normal
Yeah.
Without him here. And, you know, the Charlie Ward that we do for the high school team, when we first started coming up with these ideas, because we do two scholarships, we do one for Tech and one at Apollo, and we do this hockey award. And when we first start coming up with these ideas, I'm like, okay, but wait, I don't want to shove Charlie down anybody's, like, throat, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want to force anybody to get to know him if they don't want to. And I worried about, when we first did the scholarship, but what if nobody applies? Mm-hmm. Or what if nobody wants this award, you know? But I think that's one of the reasons why we continue to do the fundraisers and the activities in the community, so it can bring just more spiritness of that award, yeah, to the individuals, so that it becomes something that the people look forward to. After this year, we won't know anybody who, well, Jeff will probably will. The kids that were coming up through high school hockey, of who the future recipients will be. So it'll be fun to see, hopefully, that enthusiasm and that excitement for that award, mm-hmm, grow from there. So it's been a ride on a different and an unexpected road that we never envisioned.
Yeah. Well, now you've got a future daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. So are you excited to have another lady in the family that's...
I am. Yes. She knew Charlie very well, too. Her and Charlie were very close.
Okay.
Just a little cute story for you. So when they moved into their apartment together, he showed up at their apartment with a box of crumble cookies and had, mm-hmm, a little note on it that said, congratulations on your new home, mm-hmm, and gave it to them. So, mm-hmm, he had a cute little relationship with Ashaya. Yeah. And so, you know, it was hard for her when he passed away too. But yeah, it'll be good to have something positive. Not that all the stuff we're doing isn't positive, but something that is going to make our family stronger,
yeah,
to look forward to.
Yeah. Something growth oriented. Mm-hmm. How long were they together before they got engaged?
They've been together 4 years.
You have to accept this woman into your family now. Was that hard to, like, or did you just right away, you were like, oh yeah, we want her?
Well, she's been really good for Drew. She's had a lot that she's had to take on personally, too. So I think she's really kind of blended with our family well because of that. Mm-hmm. So she's very good for him. She keeps him tidy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has characteristics that Drew doesn't have and vice versa. So yeah, it's been good to see the relationship. They're both really young, so it'll be good to see where the relationship grows.
Well, and it's different, dramatically different from the relationship, your path, yeah, of your relationship. So is that kind of, as you're going through this with your kids... And my son is 19, and it was one of those where he managed to make it longer than I did without having a baby. So I'm very happy. And also I'm like, please don't make me a grandma anytime soon. So I'm very excited for him to just, I would love for him to be 30 and getting married. That would be the dream. So are you guys kind of like to have done it the way that you did it? And it worked out very well for you guys. Is it hard for him to say, hey, we're getting married and we're doing this? Or is that?
I think Drew, it's the next step in his life.
Sure.
You know, he went to college. He's working. He's adulting.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Once he moved out, he's like, see ya, peace out. Yeah. He hasn't come back and he hasn't asked for money. So he's,
wow,
doing good. Yeah. So it's just the next step in his life. And he would joke with us. He's like, well, I want to be a young dad and do young activities with my kids. I'm like, well, that was kind of a slam at Jeff.
Man, there's some truth to that.
No, I think it's just their next step in life. And that's where, the path that they're, yeah, on now.
I don't know if there's ever a right time because, right, I mean, as a parent, you want them to be set up as successful as they can be so that being a parent easier, yeah, that's just not reality because it doesn't matter what age you are. There's each kid doesn't come with a manual or anything. Right. Each of our boys are different in their own way and you kind of parent to them a little, mm-hmm, bit differently too, you know? So, but I think hopefully both of them know they have plenty of support, mm-hmm, with us and, mm-hmm, and not just from Eric and I, but the community and their grandparents and stuff. So we can give them the best path and it's up to them to,
yeah,
to take it in the right direction.
Yeah. I think that was kind of when the day my son graduated, I was like, I mean, it's not like my job's not done, but it's also like, you're a fully cooked egg now. So you just go out into the world and, yeah, you're on your own, buddy. Like, yeah, I've done the best that I can do.
Yeah.
I hope the best for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, still trying. He probably is sick of, you know, we hang out and whatever and have conversations. And I'm still trying to slide in with, like, the mom advice or whatever. And I'm sure he's like, God, I'm an adult. Leave me alone. But I don't know. When do you pull the plug? How do you know when to be done?
You never do.
I mean, life throws you a curveball like we went through. And then you've, yes, got to really be there to be a parent when they need it.
In a way that, you know, your kids would have never known that they needed you. And now here you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it'll be good to have her officially part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And are they planning on sticking around? Do they live around here?
They do. They live just a few minutes from, about 10 minutes from our house. And who knows? Drew every other day is like, I'm going to move here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But like, well, you guys can't leave me because then I'm here by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needs some escape from me.
Well, yes. In the 20 plus years that you guys have been together and everything that you've overcome, what is it that you love the most about each other?
For Jeff, again, he's just very selfless, and he's the kind of dad that he's always been very gracious to our kids, but mm-hmm. the little things that they'd ask for, he'd always make them. It wasn't just given to them. Mm-hmm. He's installed a very good work ethic in our kids, and I'm appreciative for that. And I appreciate that even though his background with his family upbringing and my family upbringing is very different, I know that no matter what we go through as a couple, he's always going to be there. Our marriage has been tested. Let's be truth with what we went through. So I know he's always going to be there. He's very supportive, loving. He's quirky in his own way.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate how supportive and loving he is, not only to me but to others around him too, without mm-hmm. expecting anything in return.
Yep. Slow and steady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. He is the tortoise in the race.
I can beat you. As for Erica, what's there not to? I think what makes her is she's pretty accepting to everybody and wants to make sure everyone's having a good time or is enjoying themselves and is involved and doesn't really take things for granted, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I would say she's much more of a social butterfly mm-hmm. than me.
100%. I'll admit to that.
But her close friends want to be around her and she wants to be around them. And I admire that she has those relationships or so many of those relationships. I'm sure there's a smaller handful that, you know, you're really close to, but she's got a lot of friends and a lot of support and different backgrounds of the support, you know. You know, they always say you got three or four true friends that will be there for whatever your situation, and she's got a lot of friends, a lot of support, and I think that's what makes her have a big heart and has also helped her be able to share our story or Charlie's story a little bit more, where I'm probably more of, let's build this or let's do this. I'm more maybe one-on-one versus she can maybe share to a larger audience. So,
yeah, that's us.
Well, when you choose well, you can see it. You guys have chosen well and you can get through anything when you've chosen a person who compliments you very well. And I think that's the thing that you can see between you is that you can be the social one and you could be the one that's saying, hey, Jeff, we're going to pull you out of your comfort zone a little bit and we're going to go do a thing that maybe you don't like, but you need somebody in your life to be able to say, okay, Erica, I'm always going to be here. And also we're just going to keep trucking along. Somebody who's going to keep the train engine moving.
Yeah, 100%. He's along for the ride and it's been hilly and valley and all the things in between, but he's very supportive of it all. So
I think at the end of the day, we let each other be ourselves and we always can kind of come together and agree to disagree or fully agree in how we get to the next path or the next obstacle. Mm-hmm. I might go right, she goes left, but we seem to still end up at the same place doing the same thing or trying to help each other out, get to what we need to get done.
Well, it's respect. You guys can clearly see that you respect each other and care about each other.
I put the ink in the printer. She makes it print.
Wow, did you write that one?
That came up right off the top of his head.
Yep.
That's why I fell in love with him.
It's spontaneity. Just, the other night we were trying to print stuff and the printer doesn't work and, you know, just like, well, I could get the ink in, plug it in, but I don't know how to make the thing work.
He is not technology savvy, that's for sure.
Just get the thing to work.
I'll provide it with what it needs, though.
Yes.
That was like a Hallmark card.
Oh, okay. Well,
it writes itself.
Yeah.
With ink.
Yeah. Well, to have been given a hand that you didn't want to be dealt, you guys have gone through it, and whether you wanted it or not, you have it. And thank you for carrying the torch to be a beacon that other people who are maybe going through a struggle can turn to, and to do it so well and to do it so carefully and respectfully. Thank you.
We appreciate that. And we just, you know, everybody deals with this journey differently, and we're by no means no experts, but we just want people to know that. And it doesn't have to be that they've lost a loved one, but any hard times that they're going through, we are there to show that no matter what life throws at you, there is a way to get through it and to persevere and be resilient through it.
Yeah. And it's love and tenderness and respect. So thank you. Thank you for being here on the Love Story Podcast and for sharing your story, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday, regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.